Economics has a dirty secret. Its foundational theories are built on a mistake made 150 years ago, when economists like Leon Walras and William Stanley Jevons were establishing the field in the 1870s, they borrowed heavily from physics to give their work scientific credibility, but they cherry-picked only the first law of thermodynamics, energy conservation, while completely ignoring the second law about entropy. This wasn't just an oversight, it was a catastrophic misclassification that has shaped economic thinking ever since. They treated economies as closed, equilibrium-seeking systems, like a pendulum that eventually comes to rest. Real economies? They're more like rainforests, open systems constantly exchanging energy and information, never reaching equilibrium, always evolving. This explains why economic predictions fail so spectacularly, why markets crash without warning, and why the laws of supply and demand rarely work as advertised in the real world. Think of your immune system. Millions of cells interact without a central command, spontaneously organizing to fight infections and heal wounds. Now imagine the economy works the same way. This is the radical insight of complexity economics. Markets aren't mechanical systems, but complex adaptive networks where order emerges from the bottom up. Consider the beer distribution game, a simulation where players manage a simple supply chain. Even with perfect information and strong incentives to optimize, players consistently generate boom-bust cycles purely through their interactions. No irrational behavior, no external shocks, just the structure of the system itself creating volatility. Think of your immune system. Millions of cells interact without a central command, spontaneously organizing to fight infections and heal wounds. Now imagine the economy works the same way. This is the radical insight of complexity economics. Markets aren't mechanical systems, but complex adaptive networks where order emerges from the bottom up. Consider the beer distribution game, a simulation where players manage a simple supply chain. Even with perfect information and strong incentives to optimize, players consistently generate boom-bust cycles purely through their interactions. No irrational behavior, no external shocks, just the structure of the system itself creating volatility. Networks form the invisible scaffolding of economic life. Not just physical infrastructure, but social connections linking companies and markets. Stuart Kaufman's research explains why products like email suddenly catch fire. As user connections increase, small clusters form, then suddenly link into giant superclusters when connections exceed a critical threshold. This tipping point explains the internet's explosive growth in the late 1990s. Networks reveal both the power and curse of scale. As organizations grow, innovation potential expands exponentially. A network with just 100 nodes would take 568 million years to explore all configurations. Yet interdependencies grow faster, creating bureaucratic paralysis. IBM couldn't respond to Dell's direct sales model because the change would have triggered revolts among retailers and sales teams. Despite having more possibilities, IBM had fewer degrees of freedom. Physicist Doyne Farmer discovered that stock market jumps often occur not from news, but from gaps in order books. When a trade hits an empty price level, it jumps to the next available one, creating wild swings from market architecture alone. Business cycles, market crashes, and wealth creation aren't anomalies. They're natural features of evolutionary systems. Traditional economics portrays us as supercomputers calculating every purchase. We're actually inductively rational, pattern recognizers using mental shortcuts. The ultimatum game proves this. One person splits money, the other accepts or rejects. Rejection means both get nothing. Economic theory predicts acceptance of any positive offer, yet people worldwide reject unfair splits even at personal cost. During 2 million years in small bands, we evolved as conditional cooperators and altruistic punishers where fairness meant survival. Our brains developed sophisticated cheating detectors, biasing us toward generosity in high-trust environments and punishment in low-trust ones. This strong reciprocity appears universal across cultures with genetic foundations. The hormone oxytocin provides biochemical support for trust-making, making us far from the cold calculators of economic textbooks.
Evolution isn't just a biological metaphor. It's literally how markets operate. Carl Sims demonstrated this by creating virtual block creatures that evolved swimming abilities in a simulated environment. Starting with 300 random creatures with computer DNA, he applied evolutionary principles. The best swimmers survived, reproduced by swapping DNA, and occasionally mutated. Within 20-30 generations, flailing shapes evolved into effective swimmers with fish-like features, dolphin-like tails, snake-like bodies, stabilizing fins, all without a designer. This same algorithm drives economic innovation across three interconnected spaces. Physical technologies evolve through deductive tinkering, combining intentional design with trial and error. Social technologies, legal systems, corporate structures, cultural norms evolve from simple cooperation to complex organizational forms. Business plans bind these together under strategies to create value, constantly adapting as conditions shift. The evolutionary process never stops because what's fit today may be obsolete tomorrow. Studies show only 5% of companies achieve superior performance for 10-plus years, and a mere 0.04%, just 3 companies, for 50 years.
Traditional economics struggles to define wealth beyond vague utility. Complexity economics offers clarity. Wealth is fit order, patterns that are both organized, low entropy, and aligned with human purposes. This connects economics to thermodynamics in ways classical theory missed. Every value-creating act is thermodynamically irreversible. You can't burn the same coal twice or reverse a beneficial trade. Our preferences have evolutionary roots. Household spending mirrors ancestral survival needs. Housing, 32%, provides shelter and status. Transportation, 20%, enables livelihood. Food, 14%, satisfies evolved tastes. Even art appreciation is mental cheesecake. Just as we evolved cravings for rare fats and sugars, we developed aesthetic preferences that now drive cultural consumption. Our preferences and business offerings co-evolve continuously, each shaping the other. Wealth creation isn't about extracting value from fixed resources. It's about discovering new combinations that serve human needs.
Traditional strategy assumes predictable outcomes and sustainable advantage. Complexity economics shatters both assumptions. Business history pivots on frozen accidents, tiny chance events that dramatically alter trajectories. When IBM sought an operating system for its first PC, Gary Kildall of Digital Research missed the meeting by going hot air ballooning. IBM turned to Bill Gates, who purchased Qdos for $50,000 and negotiated rights to sell on non-IBM machines. That single contract clause created a $270 billion company. Successful companies create portfolios of competing experiments rather than betting on one prediction. In 1987, facing MS-DOS's decline, Gates didn't bet solely on Windows, but simultaneously pursued 6 strategic experiments, creating robustness against market uncertainties. Strategic planning should focus on creating prepared minds through learning rather than predicting an unknowable future. Companies that thrive in complexity don't predict the future. They create options that allow them to respond effectively regardless of which future unfolds.
Complexity economics transcends left-right divides. The left views humans as inherently altruistic, corrupted by bad systems. The right sees self-interest as immutable, requiring accommodation. Both miss the truth. We're conditional cooperators and altruistic punishers, predisposed to cooperate but willing to punish norm violators at personal cost. This framework critiques both extremes. Against the left, scattered information requires market mechanisms. Against the right, market failures abound. Britain's telephone deregulation, California's electricity chaos, rail privatization disasters. The crucial distinction isn't government versus markets, but policies that pick winners versus those shaping the fitness landscape while markets handle selection. Government regulations form the competitive environment. As long as markets drive selection, evolution adapts. Economies aren't machines to optimize, but living systems to nurture. Like gardeners rather than engineers, we create conditions for flourishing without dictating outcomes. Our explosive growth since 1750 represents just 0.01% of human economic history. The future requires not just technological innovation, but social innovation, better ways to organize, resolve conflicts, and align incentives toward human flourishing.